It's April 1642. Sir John Hoffman, Governor of Hull, is charged by Parliament to secure the arsenal at Hull and deny entry to King Charles I. Now, if only it were that simple. With a royalist siege outside the city walls and the rebellion of the mob within, civil war seems inevitable and losing his head more than probable. Now, that's the scene to a nice new riotous comedy called The Hypocrite. But if you can't see very well or at all, then how do you appreciate theatre? Well, that's where audio description and touch tours come in. And our expert, Vina Yarding, joins us now. Hello.
How are you, Simon?
I'm well, thank you. And you've been along to see this, haven't you?
I have indeed, and it's a Royal Shakespeare Company production. So at the moment in Stratford, in the Swan Theatre there, having had a sellout run in Hull, this year's UK City of Culture, and it's produced in association with or in partnership with the Hull Truck Theatre Company. And it is, as you set the scene there, Simon, set in the 17th century. At the start, as some people may have recognised by you giving away the date, 1642, of the English Civil War. And I hadn't realised until reading the programme notes that were sent in advance that Hull was the second largest munitions sort of depot or storage place or whatever outside London. So quite crucial place in those days. And it's a fast-paced historical farce, basically, which is great fun. The Hypocrite, you've mentioned him already, Sir John, who's the lead figure. He's the parliamentary governor of Hull, and at one point sort of almost plays on all sides, roundheads, you know, royalists, whatever. The challenge for him as the action moves on is how he literally is going to keep his head, but there we go. So very entertaining, very fast moving. Mark Addy, who plays Sir John Holland, Carolyn Quentin was his wife, and leading a really strong cast, some of whom we met on the Touch Tour. So people like Ben Gough, who plays King Charles, people who played Drudge. Now Drudge is a really interesting character. Drudge doesn't speak during the entire performance, but is, as the character's name probably indicates, is the much put-upon servant, and he is allegedly 108 years old. And when he's being regarded as, I don't know, mischievous or just not very helpful, Sir John sort of hangs him on a hook, not in a sort of round your neck way, but on the back of his jacket on a hook in the wall, and it's quite something. And in fact, this character, Danielle Bird, came out to talk to us in the Touch Tour. And I said to her, you're probably getting more of a chance to use your voice now than during the performance. But again, that's a really good example of where audio description works, Simon. You posed the question when we started our chat, how can visually impaired people, people with sight loss, people who are blind or partially sighted, get the most out of a production like this, or indeed anything else that's staged at the theatre? And audio description is, for me at least, and hopefully an increasing number of people with visual impairments, the answer.
And were there the props, were there like weapons and things that you could...
There were some weapons. There was a horse, actually, which was a wooden horse on wheels with sort of various brocade, and King Charles is sort of pushed in on that at one point by some of his entourage. There were, what else was there? There was a bit macabre, but there was a block on which heads are chopped off, and there was an axe for the so doing. So that wasn't necessarily for the faint-hearted. The set, quite interesting. So an arch at the back of the stage, and above that at Gallery 2 level, I think, there was some battlements and various flags hanging in the centre of the arch, King George's standard, the English flag, I think, from memory. And I think it was Union Jack. I'm not actually sure about the third one, to be honest, but there were three. All of that information you're reminded of on the day when you go on the stage and have the privilege of meeting some of the cast and talking to the describers, but they also provide pre-show notes, and regular listeners will be familiar with this. This just gives details, the cast, the costumes, perhaps a little bit of a synopsis of the story, and also describes some of the set and some of the more unusual or intriguing props, which you can then hopefully literally get a feel for if you're able to get there for the Touch Tour.
If you had gone to see this production without the audio description or the touch to it, do you think you would have got nearly as much from it?
No, because comedy and farce is particularly if it's fast-paced, as I mentioned this one was, you just can't get the jokes. You don't necessarily... Yes, you can through some of the dialogue, but, you know, you might imagine there are facial expressions. There are people dashing in at different angles, and there's a lot which I'm sure that I would have missed without Ellie Packer or Carolyn Smith, who are two of the team providing audio description for the Royal Shakespeare Company. And they were great, and they obviously enjoyed the production as well. There was much humour, much irony, and it was great fun. And the theatre, increasingly the RSC, like so many venues that I'm lucky enough to visit, certainly in the Midlands, you know, doing as much as they can to make people welcome generally, but also ensure that those who come for audio-described performances, you know, the staff know about where the headsets are and check that they're in working order. And, you know, it's great on a day. I happen to see it on a matinee day, and I think on many occasions when there are matinees, you know, the cast are involved in an evening production of some kind as well. So coming out at 11:30 in the morning to talk to us on the touch tour ensures that they have a particularly long day. So all very good, all adding to people's overall theatrical experience.
And a phrase that you mentioned and I like is the fact that it makes you feel like a VIP in many ways, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, and it's true. And I make no... I'm not ashamed of repeating that, and it's nice you're picking it up, because it's true. You know, you are... okay, you are visually impaired, but you are made to feel that, you know, as a patron, you really do matter, you know, in terms of getting the most out of that audio-described experience. And, you know, it was fun to play. I'd never come across before, played by Richard Bean, directed by Philip Green. And, very, very, very funny, and a good afternoon's entertainment.
So what Vidar and I would like you to do is to have a think about going to see Audio Described Theatre at some point this year, if you haven't done it before. And if you have, we'd love to hear from you as well to see what a difference it makes to your experience. But if you haven't tried it before, where would you start, Vidar?
I think probably I would, check out, if you're not already familiar, what your local theatre or theatres are, depending on where you live. Have a look at their programme, either online or give a call to the box office if technology isn't something you're that comfortable with. Ask about, do they have assisted performances? And they normally, increasingly these days, not only provide audio description for visually impaired patrons, but they also have captioned or signed performances for people who are hard of hearing and have hearing impairments. There are a growing number of relaxed performances for people who might have autism or a learning disability. So ask them what perhaps they have, particularly if you're interested in audio description. Then obviously, if any of those particular productions or titles appeal, give it a go and try and ensure that you are able to attend the touch tour if there's one on offer. Feedback to the theatre about what it was like, you know, going on stage, inspecting the costumes, perhaps behind the scenes, listening to the headset or through the headset to the commentary from the describers, just picking up the headset. If you've got a guide dog, you know, inquire about what their facilities might be for whether or not the guide dog can go into the auditorium or whether you'd prefer one of the staff to look after him or her. All of those sort of things. It's a question of talking and not only asking the questions of the theatre, but also by doing so, ensuring that the venue itself is aware that there are people out there who, depending on what's being lined up on the schedule, would be interested in perhaps taking advantage of that sort of service provision. And the more that they see that there's an audience out there, the more enthusiastic the theatres will be, because, you know, they think that it is worth doing. It isn't just being done to tick a box. People are genuinely coming to derive pleasure from and get the most out of whatever the production in hand happens to be.
And the theatre scene is really quite vibrant at the moment, isn't it, in the UK?
It seems to be, absolutely. A lot of productions, a lot of professional, a lot of amateur, a lot of touring productions, and, you know, various offers that different theatres have, price-wise and all that sort of thing. So worth inquiring, worth dipping your toe in the water if you've not tried it before. And, okay, you know, it may not be for absolutely everybody, but hopefully once you had a successful experience and you see how somebody or a couple of people who are providing live audio description and live commentary can paint pictures with words, which hopefully helps you get the most of, you know, the production, understand the story, appreciate the humor, all that sort of thing, and basically get as much out of it, if not more, because you meet some of the cast on occasions, than some of your fellow patrons.
Well, we were talking about The Hypocrite there. It's a comedy and it's at the Royal Shakespeare Company. And we thank you very much, Vina, for going along for us, and we will look forward to your next adventure.
Thank you very much indeed, Simon. Great pleasure.